This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Songs quickly because I've already used up the only two.
I know.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm gonna have to start asking. Maybe you guys can start giving us some ideas and suggestions on iTunes for some great songs. But in the meantime, I am back with my beautiful panel tonight. We are here for Real Housewives of New York City, episode 2, season 7, New House, Old Grudges. Crazy episode. I'm Ashley Daniels. Let's start from my right tonight. I almost had to do this. I'm like, left, right?
Oh, I do that too. Hi, guys. It's Megan Stecker.
I'm Dr. Fran Walfish with Sex Box on WeTV.
Yes.
And I am Fern Roday.
So we don't have Lindsay Wagner tonight, but instead we have the beautiful Dr. Fran for, as she just mentioned, WeTV Sex Box. She is a very, very intelligent psychotherapist who is going to help us analyze the housewives
tonight.
She's
going to put the ladies on the couch.
She is. So it's a different, we got a little spice up to our recap tonight. Very exciting. So let's just get right into it. Oopsie daisy. Okay. So, last week we didn't have too much going on. We had, you know, some introductions and stuff, but for tonight we had so much we didn't even know if we'd get through the entire thing. So this was awesome. It delivered and everything that we wanted. What did you guys think overall of tonight's episode?
Loved it. There was so much that I feel like we all at the end said, where do we start? But I thought it was great. We got the drama that Lindsay really wanted last week. We got it this week. And we got to see everybody all together in one place for the first time, which I thought was great.
What about you, Dr. Fran? What did you think of tonight's episode?
I loved it, too. There's so much action. It's happening fast, quickly, lots of drama, lots of personalities, lots of bumping into each other. I can't wait to answer your questions about digging into their personalities.
Oh, my goodness. I have a feeling you're not going to be very filtered. You're going to just say it like it is. That's what we
I'll try to be kind. What kind I won't say.
Oh, my gosh. What about you? What did you think?
It was chock full of crazy. I loved it. It's so much fun. That's why I love these Housewives shows. They're so much fun to analyze, and I love New York because they're so funny and they're so honest that there's so much good stuff.
It is so fun watching with you, especially Fern cracks up laughing literally every time Bethany speaks. You enjoy something more when someone's really enjoying it.
They're my favorite Housewives. They're definitely the funniest.
They're hilarious. I mean, it's ridiculous. So the first part I wanted to get into tonight was when we see Ramona's home in the Hamptons. Kind of an empty feeling there, seeing pictures of Mario all over the place. We hear that she bought this home a long time ago when Avery was little, and they spend their Christmases there. And it's there's something missing. There's a piece of the puzzle missing there. We see that Dorinda's there, and she's kind of, you know, she's making a little more positive out of the situation. But what do you think that, do you think that Ramona handled it right, just kind of trying to stay positive and, you know, talk about reminiscing about the memories that she had, but not so much getting into specifics? What do you guys think of the whole dynamic of Dorinda and Ramona in the house?
I think the two of them have such a good vibe together. I liked her time alone with Dorinda because she got to talk about the house in like a loving way and kind of reminiscing in that she was going to miss the way it used to be, because now that Mario is gone and Avery has grown, before Sonia got there and said kind of her little rude comment about, oh, you're keeping me in Mario's doghouse. So it was nice to see her get that quality quiet time alone with Dorinda. Mm-hmm.
And I like what Dorinda said about Mario, the way she summed it up. Like, even if you want to get out of the marriage, don't make a fool of this person. Don't embarrass right. her. She deserves so much more than that. You've been married for years and have a child together.
Right.
So I think she's such a good friend.
Yes.
You said Dorinda was a very confident person.
I think she's very secure.
Yeah.
I think they cast the new housewife so beautifully because she brings a sturdiness to...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The energy and the vibe of the other women. She actually, to me, seems the most secure of all the housewives.
That's so interesting, because we don't really know her yet, but everything we've gotten so far, we've all seemed to really enjoy. So it's very interesting that you also see that.
It's true, and I do want to underscore what you're saying. It does take time to truly get to know people.
Right.
And layers unfold. But on the surface... intuitively, I think she's a very solid, she's not easily shaken or blown over.
Okay, well, that's a good thing for Ramona, because Ramona's drawn to her, and Ramona's a little more up and down, as opposed to someone who's a little more, like you say, sturdy.
Yes.
So the dynamic quickly shifts when Sonia walks in, and as Dorinda put it, you know, she didn't really know where the whole... she didn't even know what the story started, that Sonia just kind of walked in, like, mid-story, like she had been talking to herself. But so that's like me. I mean, I hate to say it, but I've done that 1,000 times, so I feel bad, because Sonia probably had no idea that she came across like that. Never mind, we all had no idea. They never even met until right. that point. What did you think of Sonia? As we already know, you were saying, Megan, that just now, that she kind of... you know, she said a couple rude comments about Mario and everything. But overall, did you think Sonia handled it well when she kind of realized that she, you know, she wasn't the Ethel to the Lucy anymore? There was someone else there possibly taking her place.
I think she handled it poorly.
No. Well, I mean, I thought it was funny when Dorinda was like, oh, it's Mary Poppins meets Zsa Zsa Gabor. Yes. And I was like, I never would have thought of that on my own, but that's the perfect way to put it. Just kind of like this crazy storm blew in, and you get like, oh, like blonde, crazy Mary Poppins. I don't know. But I thought it was a rude comment about Mario's doghouse. And, I think maybe Ramona said something to her after the fact, because when they were at lunch the next day, I do recall her saying to Ramona, like, I promise I wouldn't bring up Mario, sorry. So maybe Ramona said something to her, because that was a nasty comment. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point that you brought up. I didn't even remember that. Good. Nice.
Good ears.
Do you think, Dr. Fan, in terms of friendships, when a third person comes into play, how do the girls handle it appropriately so that no one feels left out? Or is there even a way to do that?
I think that's a great question, because the dyad, the two, suddenly become a triangle. There are three. And it takes a confident and secure person to be able to step back and share. Mm. And sharing is not so easy. Now, when you said you thought that was a rude comment about the doghouse, I had the feeling Sonia can be much more rude. I thought for her, it was a little bit sugar-coated.
Interesting.
It was rude. But she has a capacity to be even scratchier, I think.
Interesting.
So, I think that she could have handled it better, but I think her ego was slightly bruised and injured when she was no longer given the best bedroom in the house.
And she got booted. It really has nothing to do with the bedroom. Like, it doesn't matter. It's that it's hers, that she used to come visit her all the time. and that she feels that it's symbolic that she's been replaced.
Exactly. Right? It's territorial.
Right.
I'm no longer number one.
Right. And if she were mature, she wouldn't have said anything. If she were Dorinda, if the tables were turned, she wouldn't have said anything. That
exactly.
would have been the secure person's reaction.
Right.
And she tried to make a joke out of it, which we could all see through.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I feel a little bad for Sonia, actually, that she's this age and this insecure.
Insecure. It's not uncommon.
So you're telling me age doesn't bring security? Damn.
No, it doesn't. Openness does. I think you have to be willing to take that painful look within, that honest, painful look within, and only a percentage of folks are willing to do that. It takes strength to look at our own stuff. It really does.
Oh, yeah.
And to be able to own up to it. And I think on this show, we saw a small percentage of people who could,
mm-hmm.
and most could not.
Right.
And we see it in different shades.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that. You're going to ask me questions.
She's already predicting. Right. I am. Okay. Very, very interesting. I do want to mention on a lighter note that Dorinda does mention that she believes Sonia is the urban myth or something.
The urban myth
of
New York.
Upper East Side. Everybody knows about her on the Upper East Side. She's an urban myth.
Now, I want to make it clear that I was able to speak to Sonia last year during our season one. She's lovely. She is a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. And I do want to make sure, because if she is listening, or I want her to know that we have no animosity or any, we're dissecting the episode. We're taking what we're given and we're running with it. But you do have a big heart, Sonia, and we do know that. I believe that, just some people have different ways of showing it. Doesn't mean we always have to agree with everybody. That's why our show is a recap show. We have opinions, but I do want to say that Sonia does have a big heart, and I do love her deep down.
To her in that kitchen when she was talking about her house in Connecticut, Colorado, France, it was so obviously cut to get spliced together.
Yes.
You could kind of tell with the audio.
Absolutely.
I feel like, Megan, you always point this out, that the audio sounds a little different.
Yeah.
And it was kind of obvious. So
absolutely.
That's a great point. And that's how they keep it so fast-paced and interesting. And,
mm-hmm.
It's like you have to sit on the edge of your chair to keep up.
Yes.
I think it is because
great
of the
editing. And music, too. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have that scene, and going into the next one, which is the estate sale. So kind of a bittersweet moment. It's the beginning of a new life for Luann, but it's also, marking the end of an older life that she had with, being married and her kids were younger. And we see, a lot of the women are there to support her. Interesting that Luann gets an apology at this point. So it is another symbolic situation, I think, in the midst of having a blank slate. Ramona takes it upon herself to also have a blank slate and start new with Luann. At least she hopes that that's the case, mm-hmm. and apologizes. And we see a glimpse of, I think, a few seasons back where Ramona was a little bit... she was a little bit hostile to Luann in terms of her marriage failing and how she and Mario are doing amazing, and she wasn't very empathetic at that moment. But curious what you guys thought. Do you think it was a genuine apology that Ramona had to Luann? And then I also want to know what Dr. Fran thinks, but we'll go the other two first, because then yours is her. That'd be a little deeper.
I definitely thought it seemed genuine. But as soon as she was like, I think I'm going to cry, I thought that was finally a real genuine apology, because I guess Luann kind of put it best when she was like, I've had you apologize to me before. But I was a little sad to see that Luann kind of took the apology conditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, fine. Thanks for apologizing. We'll see if this one sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought it was actually finally a real genuine moment from her, which is hard to get. So, for her to be... Everyone's saying how it seems like she's turned over a new leaf, and she's so, fresh and a weight's off her shoulder, and she's a whole new woman. And for her to just be like, I'm offering you this apology tearfully, and for Luann not to fully accept it, I feel like it's furthering my thoughts that maybe Luann will be a little bit of the villain this year, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How I said last
year.
Yes. If you can't just, somebody tearfully apologizes to you, how can you not, hug them and say, thank you so much, and, I know what you're going through because I've been through it, so, call me if you need me. what I thought.
I don't think it was genuine.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh.
I think she's on national television. She's mortified because her husband cheated on her after years of having a, you know, a 17-year anniversary vow renewal and bragging about how wonderful their life is. And I think she's mortified now and is like, let me apologize because I look like an idiot. That being said, I think Luann should have accepted it, because when people say, you know, forgive and forget, if you really want to forgive someone, then you'll forget about every, you know, whatever it is they did that hurt you. That's truly to, I could be wrong, you could tell me I'm wrong. But I think, in my opinion, if you forgive someone, then you forget what they did and you move forward. And I think it was ungracious of the Countess to not forgive her. I know she's not technically Countess anymore, but yeah, it's just, it was not right of her.
I agree with you. But I don't know
how genuine the apology was. What do you think?
I'll tell you what I'm sitting here thinking. You know, it is such a pleasure to meet both of you. I've met you and worked with you before. And for those out there viewing, meeting both of you, you are so lovely and so nice and so genuine.
Thank you.
And it's mind-blowing how we can all disagree. Because I'm absolutely shocked because you could be my sister, but I totally disagree with you. And it's, there's no right or wrong here. There's no right or wrong. Here's what I felt. I felt her apology was so genuine. I agreed with you.
Okay.
In terms of intuitively feeling it. Now, when somebody apologizes, you know, it's only real and only has meaning if it is genuine. And people are very used to saying, sorry, sorry, you know, to get somebody off their back.
Yes.
Particularly if it is national television and you want to look good. I think if somebody has, by the way, you know, when we talk about, and I'm not here to pathologize anyone or throw names around, but if you think of a narcissistic personality, all of us, not just us, but everyone in the world, every human has some level of narcissism. You know, it falls on a spectrum. And it goes from a little bit to, you know, I put a little makeup on and I want to look good and I comb my hair.
Right.
To I want to be on a television show, I want to be in front of a camera. To a narcissistic personality is not just thinking me first, selfish. It's also having a grand belief that I'm better than others, but also that person is missing the computer chip in their personality structure that does not allow them to imagine the impact of their own behavior on other people. And I felt that she really, Ramona, she really understood for the first time. True, it was only because she personally had gone through a divorce. So she had to experience it to know what it felt like. But she finally could have empathy and genuine compassion and empathy.
Oh, I definitely agree with you that it was genuine. I just want to clarify, because I think that Luann should have I think Luann should have accepted it and kind of moved on a little more. So I think that's where I was agreeing.
Yes, I do.
I just want to make sure that is clear. But that is so interesting. And just to dissect a narcissist.
I know.
Wow.
I love it.
That's crazy. That's like, I can't wait to go back and rewind this and like listen to that 4 or 5 times so I can actually really process it. Like,
amazing. It looks different in every person. And it looks different in men versus women.
Oh, right.
Yes. And, you know, I'm guilty because my father, who was a very famous singer and clergyman, was preoccupied with his career and ambition, and I stood on my head as a child to get his attention.
Right.
I could not sustain his attention. He was preoccupied with watching the news and pursuing work, etc. So I got used to accepting crumbs from guys who were preoccupied with their own needs.
Oh.
Hello, hello. I see the light bulbs
so
going off.
It's really fascinating. We'll have to have you back again.
Yes, we will. Absolutely. I mean, really. I hate to be the one that breaks it, but we have to go to the next part. But I do actually, you have to come back.
Yeah,
we
will. I'd love to.
This is
cool.
Fantastic.
I'd love to.
Well, we have so many more questions for you. Okay, so now we have, I think that was, now I lost my train. Sorry. Oh, yeah, Ramona. So, no, it's my fault. Ramona and Luann, the apology. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. So the next one we had with the lunch with Dorinda, Ramona, and Sonia. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, let's get into how funny was it when Jennifer, the waitress, asks for the menu and Sonia reaches out her hand. Like, it was so Sonia, and Dorinda called her out. It was just so funny, and Jennifer's like, okay, I saw the menu. But I think that was a moment where, you know, Dorinda realized, because maybe Dorinda didn't really know too much about Sonia other than what Ramona said, but it was interesting to see her, because she's like, okay, this girl, she's innocent. She's just silly, and she does silly things, but there's no, and I think Dorinda, it opened Dorinda's eyes a little bit, just seeing how she's just, that's just Sonia.
Yeah.
There's no animosity. There's nothing behind that that's evil. It's just, she's just silly and does silly things. But we saw Ramona's sister for the first time, Tanya?
Yeah.
Tanya.
Yeah.
Never met her before.
Mm-mm.
And I thought I didn't think the lunch went too bad. I mean, I think they kind of got a little more comfortable being the three of them prior to Tanya coming. What do you guys think about that lunch? Did you have any thoughts about the three of them?
I kind of believe they hadn't talked about, like, Sonia hadn't already asked her about her ex-husband, you know, the husband who passed and the current boyfriend.
Well,
like,
yeah, that was awkward.
Up?
That was awkward. So
they had met the night before. I'm sure they had a few drinks and were talking and I don't know.
That was actually a good point. That was really awkward. It went well until that point.
Maybe it's just the way Sonia's phrasing things. Because she said, oh, so you have a dead husband and a boyfriend. It's so hard to keep up with. And
you're right.
It's just like, I know she means well. And maybe it's her trying to be funny. And it's just the way she phrases it that
across.
It comes across a little rude. But she's just trying to be funny, maybe. And it's not everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah.
I agree. Maybe.
So maybe they did talk about it. She's trying to get more and she's trying to be funny.
I think that's a great point. That I think so many people express themselves in a way where they're misunderstood.
Right.
They have good intentions. And I think you're right. I think she does have good intentions. And maybe she's trying to be funny or even empathic.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes off a little bit different.
Definitely. Okay. Totally agree. And I thought we learned a little bit more about John, though. We were all wondering if he was in the mafia or what, but he's Armenian, but not to say they don't have a mafia, but we thought he was a little mobster, like, you know, she was talking about how he's always there for her in the morning and he just takes really great care of her. And, you know, I don't know, it seemed like Sonia had mentioned something about,
it's like Italians.
Yeah.
He's like Ramona. Italians are very loving. And Ramona's like, I'm half Hungarian.
Right. Exactly. So Sonia kind of mentioned it in like a, almost as if like, it's like, isn't that your best friend? Don't you know her nationality?
Right.
But Ramona really, I think she's trying to really find her individuality and her independence from this whole situation and being paired up with her ex-husband, or almost ex-husband. Papers aren't signed yet, but still, Italian ex-husband. It makes her feel a little bit like, no, like, I'm not Italian, he's Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to really clarify that. Were you surprised at her reaction, or do you think that was typical of somebody that's in that similar situation?
You know, I like the way that you just said it, because that's what's, I'm thinking now it was, she wants to separate herself from him. Whereas before, I was kind of like, well, what's she getting upset about? You know, so I think what you said makes perfect sense. She's trying to separate herself.
It. You could almost hear, like, her heart fall when she brings up Mario's name. Like, don't talk about him.
Yeah.
Like, can we just stay off this painful topic? And, I felt for Ramona there.
It's like those moments where you're told not to laugh in church and then you start laughing. You know, it's like, don't talk about Mario. Mario, Mario, Mario. It's almost like, you know, it's like the forbidden fruit.
Yeah.
So
and they were married for years. Yeah. You know, of course he's
25 years,
come
right?
Up. He's going to come up in conversation.
Of course.
I think people hold it together very well. You know, earlier I said it takes a long time to get to know people.
Yes.
Ramona is one of those people. When I first watched her on film, she came off as really together to me.
Right.
But she has little pockets of vulnerability. And if somebody steps on a spot accidentally, or God forbid intentionally.
Oh, gosh.
I can see her weaknesses come out. We saw that in that moment where she got, I'm just going to say defensive. Mm-hmm. There was a defensiveness in her. We saw it later, you know, when we're going to talk about the argument that happened later.
Absolutely.
But that was a moment of defensiveness where she quickly defended herself. No, wait a minute. I'm not, you know, I'm not Italian. I'm blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Pockets of vulnerability. Yeah, I gotta use that.
And
this is
great. Learning so much.
Psych 101, everyone. Awesome. That's so cool.
Dr. Fran's Psycho 101. I haven't read that in any books.
Exactly.
But it makes sense.
It does. It really does. And so, yeah, the lunch ends a little bit, you know, a little bit crazy. But we have Luann's house. So a lot happens in Luann's house now at the point where they're in the new home. Which is so charming and so beautiful, by the way, on the water. I loved it. It was very shabby. Was it shabby chic a little bit? I don't know if it was shabby chic or it was like more
say
farmhouse.
Like modern traditional. I don't know.
The big plank wooden floor was just beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It was big windows. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Lots happens in this little, beautiful, charming home, though. Good and bad. So we'll start off with the good. We've got some flirtation going on between Carol and the chef, Adam, and some flirtation from Sonia later on in the night, and the gardener Michael, I believe. So we've got some, you know, a little bit of fun and lightheartedness between them. Carol always delivers in the fun department. And what did you guys think that she was serious about this with Adam, or do you think it was more just for the cameras, just fun making light out of situation?
Maybe both. I think it's really fun for her to flirt. So. It's almost like I don't know, a pastime. Like, rather than and getting around the party and mingling with everyone, she's just mingling in the kitchen with the guy and seeing maybe if he'd take the bait.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's got to be fun to be older and single and be like, do I still got it? Let me see.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's pretty cute. Maybe she hooked up with him off camera. She's like not, you know, the type that would... But she's, it's fun to see her flirt and have fun. And she's funny. It's a little, I mean, I don't want to be too hard on Sonia. I feel like when Carol flirts, it's funny and it's because she has a fun personality.
Yeah.
And when Sonia was flirting, I was like, there was a little bit of desperation, but maybe that's editing and maybe it's, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to be too hard on her.
Yeah, no, you're not being hard. No.
It's not as much fun. It's like a little more desperate. She's doing it for attention, doing it for, you know, how rich is this guy? What is he worth? Can I?
Right.
Is this going to be something? You know, I just felt. A little bit of that.
He was also a lot older and a gardener versus a hot young chef, so it's a little.
The guy in the who was dressed up, and she's like, "I like your outfit."
Yeah.
Okay.
Talking about the tulips and
that's
stuff.
That's the gardener.
But a lot of women now are looking for younger men, and they're in their 40s now and 50s. Yeah. Is it just happening more and more? Or are we hearing about it more and more now? But it's always been happening.
I think it's happening more and more now, and I think, you know, watching Carol and Adam, the chef, I think she was turned on to him. I think she would have taken the bait. And who knows? Maybe they did off camera.
Yeah. Never know.
But I think there is in Carol a certain kind of young quality, an emotional, I don't want to say an immaturity, I don't know her.
Right.
But there is a feeling that I get from her of more girl than woman.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
And now
too.
That you say that, I totally can see that.
Like a young spirit.
Yes.
Yeah. So I can see her wanting to be with a young guy, post-pubescent guy.
Yeah, I just thought it was so funny. She was cooking when she doesn't know how to. She was like, I'll cut these tomatoes.
Did you see
that?
That was funny.
She didn't react.
Yes.
She's like, are these too thick?
I would not want her doing surgery on me.
No, she cut herself, right?
Right. Oh, no. Baby. But she tried, and that's a very good point, Dr. Fan. I never thought of that, but it's very interesting. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, so totally on the other end, we had, she was talking about, Sonia's mentioning the tulips, I think, and the flowers
the
and the garden. And then, yeah, and the potato sacks or something. And it was just, it was a little bit awkward, but I mean, Sonia's not shy at all. She'll flirt with anybody or any, you know, she'll talk to anybody. She's just, that's just who she is. She was always entertaining. Then we have, so Bethany comes. Now, Bethany was a little hesitant at first. We saw her briefly in the car on the way to promote Skinny Girl. And she was, you know, she was talking about how she kind of lives in her car now and she doesn't really have a place to call home at this moment. So when she arrives at the Hamptons, she does have a home of her own there, but she arrives to Luann's first. Hesitant, hasn't seen Ramona apparently since her talk show, which she had Ramona as a guest on. I believe same goes for Heather. So comes in by herself, kind of awkward, doesn't have anybody with her. You kind of want a girlfriend by your side if you're going to a party. Arrives there, everybody's already drinking and having fun. I thought she handled herself really, really well. I felt like tonight she was attacked. I felt like she was attacked in two different situations. I didn't feel like she was attacked, so I should rephrase that. I think she was a little more attacked with the Ramona situation. With the Heather situation, I felt like, because Heather's very opinionated, and Heather has only good intentions, but Heather, I don't think Bethany and Heather know each other enough that Bethany, I was just afraid that Bethany was going to flip out at Heather a little more.
Me too.
Because Heather, you know, like you were saying, Dr. Fran, sometimes your intentions could be good, but you don't, you know, maybe you're delivering it differently. So Heather's delivery, I was just afraid for Heather because I didn't know what Bethany was going to do. What did you think of the situation, all of you, but when Heather said to her, well, you know, we saw that in a book, one of your older books that you wrote to Luann, that she helped you with Skinny Girl Margarita in its beginning days. You know, don't you? You should owe her a car or something at this point. She helped you with your Skinny Girl, and you sold it for millions and millions of dollars. I don't know. You, anybody had an opinion about that? Just in terms of, do you think that you agreed with that, or do you think it was?
I thought Bethany was going to go nuts.
I did too.
And I think it might come up again later in the season, and she's going to go nuts. And I think she's really protective of her idea that she built from nothing, and people should stop trying to steal it or take claim for it. And I could see her blood boiling.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think she was, I actually, just going on that, didn't think that she even expected that to come up. And I think she was, you could see her thought process go, what book? What is she talking? Oh, yeah, I did write that. It's the last thing in the world. You could tell that was definitely not put in the script. Like, they didn't script that and tell them that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. She held herself well, but it was awkward. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I love Bethany, but I felt like she came in, like, on edge. Like, I don't know what happened earlier in the day, but I felt like she was on edge from the minute she walked in the door. And she was kind of in, like, her talk show host mode where she's, like, questioning. One of the things we love about her is she'll question anybody. She'll, you know, 20 questions with a complete stranger, and it's usually funny. But she was 20 questions and meeting so many people for the first time. Or it was like, oh, Heather, I had you on my talk show, but now we're actually talking in real life for the first time. Or Dorinda, we've never met, but we're talking for the first time. So I feel like she was, like, questions with everybody. And then when people would just answer, she was really on edge and coming back. That's why I felt like she got in her argument with Ramona. With the Heather and the book thing, I thought, I'm glad Bethany held back, because I think Heather was just misunderstanding the situation. Mm-hmm. It's like going back, and if you've seen the show, you knew exactly what Bethany said in that moment when she created that drink all those years ago, and that Luann had nothing to do with it. And I don't think she meant in her book signing. I think she was just being nice, and she didn't mean you invented 50% of this. So I think Heather just was a misunderstanding, and I'm glad Bethany restrained herself if she felt upset over that, because Heather didn't deserve it. But I felt like Bethany was really, like, going at it with Ramona for no reason. Like, she was very on edge with Ramona. So I'm not surprised Ramona snapped back and that it blew up.
You know, I wanted to add another layer to Bethany. I loved how Bethany handled both situations. Mm-hmm. But the other layer was not just the ownership of the idea, but Bethany is coming off of a divorce. Mm-hmm. And she's financially strapped as she experiences it right now. And I don't, I think that she felt on the spot, put on the spot for, and why didn't you put up with sharing some of the money? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the anger could have been tripped off as well. So I admired that she used restraint because I don't think she owes any money to the other
people. No, she definitely doesn't. And I think that's a very good point, Megan, that you say that Heather didn't know the backstory. Because in the book, the little letter, which I'm sure Bethany did, it's not like she remembers verbatim what she wrote 7 years ago.
Right.
But it came off a little more. She probably wrote this like the year after that Skinny Girl launched or something like that. But you know, I felt so awkward for her. I felt uncomfortable for her on her end. And I definitely believe that there was no bad intent on Heather's end. It was just a strange situation to have as one of your first conversations aside from, when you first on the show.
You know, I was also going to say this is not true necessarily of television, but in real life, sometimes it's better to say nothing than the wrong thing.
Absolutely.
Because you cannot erase the wrong thing that you regret. And in this television show, she did use restraint and say nothing, and I really thought that was great.
Yeah,
She didn't say the wrong thing.
Exactly. And she still delivered on the drama. She's still in a show. She still gave a little bit of, you know, facial expressions and everything. But on a completely different end, poor Bethany. So now we have Bethany and Ramona. Very awkward situation. Again, this is coming right off that whole situation. And you know when you get in a fight with somebody or you get in a weird situation, you automatically want to go and just vent to somebody and tell them what just happened? That's probably still fresh in her head. And then all of a sudden, Ramona is upset with her out of nowhere just because she asked Sonia to come over her house. Mm-hmm. And someone grabs Luann because she wrote the book on manners, on etiquette, and says, what would you do? And Luann's like, well, as long as the guest that was asked asks permission to the person that's hosting the house party or the whatever, then that's fine. But it really set Ramona off. Did you guys think that it was okay for Ramona to do that? Do you think that Ramona was in the right to get aggravated at Bethany? In the right moment.
This was tough. I don't know exact what moment things like went off or went poorly, but definitely Ramona was, I feel like Ramona's point of exploding was when she was like, no, you can't have my guest over. And things got worse from there. Because Bethany excused herself in the middle of when Ramona turned to Luann and was like, well, aren't I right? And Bethany's like, forget it. I'm not doing this. I'm leaving. I'm removing myself from the situation. I don't care what you have to say. I just really feel like Bethany was being super defensive and that she and Ramona were going back and forth. I don't know what went on between them in the downtime that it seems like they're not happy to see each other. I felt like both of them were not being extremely nice to each other. It wasn't like a hi, how are you? It was definitely who's going to get the one up verbally on the other, and it kind of exploded. Yeah. What it looked like to me.
You're so right, because I think Bethany walked in there in an insecure frame of mind. She's like, I don't know what they think of me. I don't know what they think of what happened with my failed talk show. So she was already in defense mode.
That's why she said that.
But in her defense, she was like, they're all in the Hamptons together. Some are staying at someone's house. Some are staying at someone else's house. And she's like, what are we all doing tomorrow? Like, do you want to have brunch? Mm-hmm. Do you want to go to a restaurant? So she wasn't stealing guests from somebody else. She was like, what are we doing tomorrow? And Ramona, who is in an emotional state with her personal issues, it just hit a nerve with her that she might not have, she was irrational, I think.
I saw it similarly. And I'm going to use a little bit of a little bit of psych language with it. You know, you said, I don't know the moment it went off. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you the moment it went off. Okay. The moment and I agree with you. I think Bethany came in there. She was new kid on the block or new kid back on the block.
Yeah, right.
And I think she was just trying to be friendly. What are we doing tomorrow? Want to have brunch? It was casual.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Easy. Here's where I think Bethany is second in line as sturdy. because she is not easily tipped over. She remained vertical the entire time. Here's what happened. When she said, "Do you want to have brunch?" and she directed it to someone else, the camera was on Ramona. It was on all of them. And I watched Ramona's eyes, and she looked like a deer in headlights.
Oh.
And I knew in that moment, uh-oh, she has suffered. Now, I don't know anything about her. I'm taking a stab in the dark.
Right.
But my nickel bets that she has some sort of abandonment issues, or that she suffered some early trauma with separation, because I think she felt left out. And, you know, she came off as saying, "The guests are mine for you to ask permission." Nobody owns guests.
Right.
Nobody
right.
owns
of course,
them.
Of course.
But it was like kids on the play yard.
Yeah.
If you don't include someone, they feel, "Why didn't you ask me?" That's what I think she was feeling, left out.
Wow.
And she looked terrified, really scared. And how did she react? She used a very primitive defense. Now, here's what I mean by that. It's primitive means very young. It's not thought out. It's automatic. It's called projective identification. She flipped it around and acted as if Bethany was the guilty one. Bethany was the one who had done wrong. "Well, you did this, and you acted this, and you should have, and you crossed the line. You didn't ask permission." Did you see how Bethany never excused herself? She never said, "I'm sorry." She never said, "da da 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 da." She just said, "I'm not going to engage.
Exactly.
Not going to engage
true.
In this."
Right, right.
I think she's probably been around the block a number of times.
Bethany?
She's, Bethany.
Yeah,
she's dealt with all kinds of personalities.
She's dealt with Ramona a lot, so I think in that situation,
yeah.
That is very insightful.
Now I think I'm wrong, and I have to read. I have to go back and watch this again.
Wow.
By the way, I don't mean to pathologize or name call. This is not unusual. It's just
that it's your opinion.
She felt
that's why people listen.
Very insecure because she felt left out. And she didn't know how to say, "Hey, what about me?"
Well, it also, it's interesting to see because Sonia was feeling left out. And then all of a sudden Ramona's feeling left out. Strange. I want to backtrack for 1 second and ask you three if you believe that the old Bethany from, you know, what, 3 seasons ago would have reacted the same way as Bethany now.
No. I think she's gotten so many tools in her therapy, which we got to see on her show that she had on Bravo, that she just completely used them. It was like, "Forget it. I'm not going to engage." I mean,
That's
I think she literally
point.
Said those words.
Yes, she did.
Very good point.
And she did.
We're so
did.
Used
she
to
did.
Seeing her, like, scream at someone, like, "Go to bed. You're crazy."
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, those classic moments.
Right.
So we'll miss those if you continue to not engage, Bethany. But it was nice to see, like, she has matured. She has grown up.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
And it was nice to see two women not want to tear each other's eyes out.
Right.
That she dealt with it in a very grown-up way. And I think Ramona thought she was dealing with it in a grown-up way
right,
as well.
Both,
she's
I
am calm.
Yes.
Be calm. That whole thing. So it was just funny to see both of their methods and in the not engaging.
Yeah. Right.
And I feel like she's been through the ringer. She's probably also, like, just beat up and exhausted and is like, "I can't do this anymore. I can't fight with another person.
Right.
I'm not going to engage." But so Bethany, I just want to understand, should not have apologized because then that would have given Ramona the validation that she was right, that she's
correct.
Being abandoned.
Absolutely correct.
I was thinking, Bethany, just apologize and be done with it. Be like, "I'm sorry."
No,
about that
we even talked about that. Those are
no.
Right, Dr. Fran, you said there's some people that just apologize just to kind of let the fight go away, and there are some people that apologize, you know.
Yes, but also this is a little bit of a different thing. This apology is she didn't do anything wrong.
Right. Okay.
What
yeah.
should she apologize
right. she really
for?
She didn't, yeah.
She didn't do anything
right.
wrong. But had Ramona said, "I'm hurt, I feel left out," then Bethany could have said, "I'm so sorry, I meant you're included."
Right,
of course,
right,
I want you too.
Right,
right, right. And Ramona going outside and chasing Bethany, in a sense, Was that to have the last word, or was that... Because at the end, you know, Bethany left, and then Ramona went back outside.
I think it's validating or confirming my suspicion that she's got abandonment issues.
Okay.
She cannot be tossed away.
Mm-hmm.
She had to pull her back mm-hmm. and still engage. And the way Bethany said, I don't want to hang out with you anymore.
Yeah.
It was hurtful.
It's sad.
But it also was a bit of a role model. Like, I agree with what you're saying, Megan. I think she's used a lot of her therapy, and she's put strategies and tools in action.
Bethany has.
Just wanna make sure. And I think if somebody attacks you unnecessarily or without reason, it's okay to say, I'm not going to engage.
Right.
I need space.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
At least we know how to. I'm curious what everybody thinks that's listening and that is watching right now. If you want to log on to our iTunes and rate us, you can give us 5 stars if you like what we've been talking about. And give us some comments. Let us know what you think of what we've talked about tonight and our opinions. And obviously, everybody doesn't agree with everybody. That's the beauty of this show. But we love reading the comments. We love hearing what you guys have to say. So definitely let us know. And I wanted to quickly, I think we got into everything. I wanted to quickly, I have a couple things I read, some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV.
You know how much news it is, but it's just stuff that I read that I thought was interesting. So, from realityt.com, Bethany stated that she found a new friendship with Carol this season. She says she just liked her. She connected with her, and it was unexpected. And she's not a person who she would have thought she would have opened up to, but she did. So I'm curious to see, because we saw a little bit tonight. They introduced each other, and she goes, you're the real skinny girl or something. And so they're obviously going to bond this season, so it's very interesting. And her take on Dorinda and Kristen, Bethany's take on Dorinda and Kristen, and she said she was taken by surprise for completely different reasons. She didn't know what to expect from either of them, and what she expected was the opposite. What she expected was the opposite of what she got from both of them. So,
ooh, I wonder what that means.
I don't know what that means.
Sounds juicy.
It is. I know. As you guys know, too, last week's premiere was 2.2 million total viewers, 22% jump over last season's premiere. I don't know if it has a lot to do with Bethany and Dorinda or what, but that's awesome. And lastly, Sonia talked about watching the episode last week and seeing Ramona talk about how hurt she was after the lunch that the two of them had. I can post the link. It's kind of long. But it's interesting to see her feelings on it. She said basically that she never felt that Ramona understood how painful it was to go through divorce, and she was very quick to judge and to say, and she she thought that things were done improperly. She says, if Luann and I had done things properly, and anyone, in fact, that listens to marriage advice was when she was bragging about her perfect marriage and life, we would still have a husband. And it just doesn't work that way, unfortunately. Men will be men no matter how great a wife or mother you are, as she's finding out now. So I think her non-empathetic approach last week was because she felt that in the past, you mm-hmm. know, Ramona was quick to talk about other people's mm-hmm. marriages. So, yeah, that's mm-hmm. what we have. Mm-hmm. And, let's get into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, we got to get quick. We have quick predictions for everybody.
The signal. I don't remember what we saw on the things at the end.
Scary Island, we saw Kelly Ben Simone.
Okay.
Scary Island is back.
I think we'll rehash what happened between Bethany and Ramona. It looks like Ramona's still a little mm-hmm. not happy, a little blaming things on other people next week. And I think Bethany's going to leave in a fury over Kelly Ben Simone being where they are.
Yeah, I think that was a lot of production.
And she's blaming it on Luann.
Yes.
Definitely not Luann.
So, we'll see.
You think it was Luann? I feel like it's totally going to be.
Well, it looks like Bethany's yelling at Luann.
She is yelling at Luann, but so we'll see.
I think she said that you told me everyone who's coming except for her.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like that was the producers. I feel like Luann wouldn't really do that. But now, once again, we're thinking Luann might be the villain this year.
We might.
I don't know. Predictions for next episode or anything? Any last thoughts?
I'm just looking forward to... I want them to talk about Scary Island.
They probably will.
Yeah.
Go to bed.
Yes.
You're crazy.
Where can everybody find you all on Instagram and Twitter, starting with Fern?
This is Fern. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fern Ronay.
Dr. Fran?
I'm Dr. Fran, and you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Fran Wallfish.
And on WeTV's Sex Box.
Yes.
And a lot more on AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah. Guys, Megan Steger here. Instagram and Twitter, the same name.
Awesome. You can find me on Twitter at Ashley Daniels, Instagram at Miss Ashley Daniels, and we will see you all next week for episode 3 recap of Real Housewives. Thank you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.